I gave McKenna the responsibility, if the Advent wreath candles, the height is any indication of how long I should preach, I think I've got about 30 seconds. I told McKenna, if it looks like something's catching on fire, get up and blow it out really quick. Really quick. You know, lest you personally think that you're the only one who might have reservations about a gift that you were given this year, let me share with you a few responses to the question, what is the worst Christmas gift you've ever received? Here's a sampling. My cousin gave me an autographed picture of himself. And the guy said in parentheses, that's okay because I really like my cousin. My grandmother bought me an ornament with the name Eric on it. My name is Morgan. My mother-in-law gifted me a book about how to take criticism. Ouch. When I was 14 years old, my aunt gave me a wooden pop-out set that was recommended for ages 2 to 4. This is a killer. As a high schooler, I received a book from Santa titled Coping with Being Adopted. This was news to me. A weasel ball, which is a toy meant for cats. A bag of Kroger shredded cheese from my aunt. A taxidermy rooster with no explanation for why I was given it. A spam calendar. 12 months of pictures of spam. And I was 14 years old at the time. And this one really gets me. A ceramic jar for holding dog treats when I was 15 years old, when we had just given my dog away. And he says, I sure miss you, rascal. Christmas gifts of the questionable sorts. And there's no doubt they're out there. So here's my question for you this morning, as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What do you think makes us truly appreciate a gift given to us? Now, not just appreciate a gift, but what do you think makes us truly appreciate a gift given to us? For example, if you were to say, wow, this is the most amazing gift I've ever been given. Listen, I certainly don't appreciate, deserve it. I appreciate it, but I don't deserve it. What would that be like? And what would it take for us to really appreciate a gift? Well, would we have to appreciate the giver? In other words, we know the heart of the one giving, and seeing the heart of that one, we're in awe. Would it be the gift itself? The gift being beyond anything that we could imagine. Would that help us appreciate the gift? Would it be the recognition, the fact that the giver gave the gift to acknowledge us, our worth, our value? Would it be the sacrifice, the realization that a great price was paid by the giver in the giving of the gift? Or would it be the timing, the awareness that the gift was given at the most appropriate moment? The question is, what would make us truly appreciate a gift given to us? I want you to think about this question this morning, this particular question, because only you can answer it. Only I can answer it. And maybe this morning you need to think about a gift that you've been personally given, and that will help you answer the question. But I think there's some passages of Scripture this morning that will help us even more so answer the question. So let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. These passages are also written in the bulletin. But Romans chapter 6 is where we'll start this morning. And again, we're simply asking the question, what do we need so that we will truly appreciate a gift given to us? Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. We know that our old self, our old fleshly self that was in slavery or in bondage to sin, we know that our old self was crucified with him, was crucified with Christ on the cross symbolically or spiritually in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died, one who has spiritually died with Christ on the cross, has been set free from sin, has been set free to choose godliness over ungodliness. Make sure you remember that. We have been set free from sin. Therefore, in that freedom, we can choose, if we so choose, godliness over ungodliness every single time. Look at verse 11. So you also, meaning those of us who by God-given faith are trusting Jesus Christ as the Savior of our souls, and we are yielding to Jesus in obedience as the Lord of our lives. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is how we are commanded to see ourselves in Christ, how we are to think of ourselves in Christ. We are dead to the power of sin's control over us. And as a result of that death, we are alive to live in continual obedience to God's will as revealed in the Word and as impressed upon our hearts and minds by the Holy Spirit living within us. This is who we are in Christ. And this is how we must see ourselves if we are going to appreciate the gift given us. Look at verse 17. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. We have become captivated and enthralled in the continual pursuit of godly living. That is a huge gift, because on our own, we would never want that. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, because He has brought this transformation about in your heart and in my heart. We have become literally, spiritually, slaves of righteousness. Verse 19. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, your natural fleshly self. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Once a slave to ungodly behavior that led to further and more appalling ungodly behavior, but now a slave to the godliness that leads to us one day being completely godly. And you may hesitate and say, wait a minute, I cannot be God. No, you cannot be God, but you can be God-like in character, in what you choose. You can one day be completely like Christ Jesus. And Scripture says, because of that gift to us, this is the lifestyle that we must choose. Remember, it's a choice on a regular basis. This is what we must choose. Look at verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, spiritual death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. The well-known passage, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. The payment for a lifestyle of sin is spiritual death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Ungodly living results in spiritual death, eternally separated from holy God. But godly living results in progressive Christ-likeness that leads to eternal life with holy God. The free gift of God to you and me is this, eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The very reason we celebrate, right? But not just this time of year. We celebrate this all year round. The fact that the gift given to us, those of us who do not deserve it, is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I think the question is, when were we given this free gift of God? Because to really appreciate the gift of Jesus, we have to understand when God gave us the gift. Look back a chapter, Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. For while we were still weak, still helpless to reject sin and obey the will of God, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die, would consider it, but probably really deep down would not do it. Verse 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. When was God's free gift of eternal life, which, by the way, according to this passage, includes salvation from his coming wrath of judgment for the world's sin. When was this free gift given to us? This free gift of eternal life and salvation through the shed blood of Christ Jesus? Well, this free gift was given at just the right time. At just the right time. And what was that time? It was when you and I could not save ourselves. It was when we could not, because of our slavery to sin, pursue godly living. The right time was when we were helpless and hopeless on our own. And I'm convinced until you and I get to a place that we can understand that, we really cannot appreciate this wondrous gift of Jesus Christ and eternal life. We have to understand that it was at just the right time, while we were still sinners, not when we somehow on our own earned the right to receive God's gift. It was while we were still sinners. Wow. Wow. The most famous verse, I think, in Scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God gave us the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus, even when we did not deserve that gift. And why did he do so? Well, he did so because God shows his love for us. God shows every single one of us, every single created person, God shows us all his love that he has for us. Remember, it is a steadfast love, meaning it is a love that extends to the heavens. And as we're finding more and more as we go further into space, it just goes on and on and on and on. It never stops. It's a steadfast love. And God shows us his steadfast love in that he willingly died for us on Calvary's cross. And this is the gift. And this is what we celebrate. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So what do you think? Do we truly appreciate this gift? Do we truly appreciate this gift all year round? Or do we just kind of focus it on it on the Christmas season and kind of, yeah, we got that out of our system. Now let's move on. We have to appreciate the gift all year round, don't we? We have to look at the giver and we say the giver is God in Christ Jesus. Enough said, but there's more. We have to look at the gift and say it is the gift itself. It is eternal life in Christ Jesus. It is salvation from the coming wrath of God. Enough said, but there's even more. We have to realize and appreciate that it is the recognition that we can focus on, that God shows his love for us. In fact, sometimes I think you could circle us and then kind of put a line through it and say, me. God loves me. God shows his love to me. Because there's times in this world when the world will try to convince you you're nobody, you're not loved, nobody wants anything to do with you. Well, I know one person who does, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Enough said, but there's even more. We appreciate the gift because of the sacrifice. Christ died for us. I like giving gifts. I'm still here. I don't sacrifice a gift to the point of death. Haven't yet. God may call it at some point. Haven't done that yet. But Christ died for us. Enough said. But there's one more. We appreciate the gift because of the timing. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have to put it together. We didn't have to figure it out. We didn't have to get to a place that now, God, I am so good that you can grant me eternal life. God says you'll never get there. So here's the free gift. The free gift of eternal life. The free gift of salvation from God's coming wrath. Hopefully we can think of any of these. More so, hopefully, we can think of all of these, put it together, and we really can appreciate God's wondrous gift to us of Christ Jesus. It is that gift, as you well know, that began in the manger and that was fulfilled on the cross. You hear people say it all the time, but it's really true. We cannot truly appreciate the gift of eternal life. We cannot truly celebrate at Christmas by looking only at Jesus's birth. We have to look at the fact that he went to the cross and he died there. Because once we put all that together, we go, ah, there's a gift. And God, thank you so very much that you cared for me to the point that you died for me. Now, let me do this to wrap it up. There's a writing by Paul David Tripp in his book, New Morning Mercies, that I think just really brings to light very clearly this great price that Jesus paid for us. A little bit of a lengthy read, but hang in there with me. Let me share it with you, and we'll tie it to an end before we blow out one more candle. Here's what he writes. Jesus faced separation from his Father in the here and now so that we would know the Father's acceptance now and for all eternity. Jesus knew what he was facing. He knew the price that needed to be paid. He knew what it would mean to stand in our place. He was quite aware of the spiritual math. Suffering for a moment equals acceptance for all of eternity. And he was willing. A great moral tragedy was being played out every day in the lives of every person born into this sin-shattered world. Unlike anything else, God had created human beings in his image and for intimate, loving, and worshipful community with him. A relationship with him was to be the deepest, most influential motivation in their lives. It was meant to shape every thought, every desire, every word, and every action. And this community between God and people was meant to be unbroken forever and ever. But it had been broken in an outrageous act of rebellion and sedition. Not only had Adam and Eve stepped over God's clear boundaries, but also they had quested for his position. So in the saddest moment in human history, Adam and Eve had been driven out of the garden and away from God's presence. From the vantage point of creation, it was all very unthinkable. People living separate from God. This was like fish without water, honey that is not sweet, or a sun that provides no heat. Not only did it defy the logic and design of creation, it could not work. Human beings were not hardwired to live independently. We were not made to function on our own and to live based on our own wisdom. We were not created to live by our own limited resources. We were made to live in a constant, life-giving connection to God. People's separation from God was a functional and moral disaster. So this disaster had to be addressed. The tragic gap between God and man had to be bridged, and there was only one way. Jesus would have to come to earth as the second Adam and live a perfect life in our place. He would have to bear the punishment for our rebellion and endure the unthinkable. the Father's rejection. It happened at that horrible ninth hour on the day of His crucifixion when, in a loud voice, He cried, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" This was Jesus' most painful moment of anguish as He took on Himself the tragedy of our separation from God. This moment really was the epicenter of the Christmas story. It was why Jesus came. It was why the angels rejoiced at His coming. He came to be the temporarily separated Son so that we can be the eternally accepted children of God. Now, that's a story worth celebrating. And may I add, that is a story of a gift truly worth appreciating. And may it be on this Christmas day, and not just this Christmas day, but all year round, but that you and I understand this wondrous gift of Jesus Christ in our lives, and we give God the praise and the glory for it again and again and again. Let's pray together. Father, I just want to bless You for allowing us this day to be together, allowing us this day to come into this place as the family of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, call upon Your name, sing You praises, look into Your word, and Father, be blessed because of who You are in our lives. Thank You so much for the gift of Jesus, the free gift of Jesus, eternal life, salvation from the coming wrath. And thank You that this free gift was given to us, not when we earned it, but because of who You are, the very God who loves each of us unconditionally with that steadfast love. And so, Father, today, let it be that as we leave this place, we continue to sing Your praises. We continue to see this great gift that You have given us. And we proclaim this gift, not only to our own hearts and minds, but to the world around us, to everyone that we encounter. For everyone needs the gift of Jesus. And we just bless You in that precious and holy and beautiful name, Jesus. Amen.